idea. I got a better plan. I got something we could do this. No, Jesus stayed with the plan and the work and the doings of God. Amen. And I am ever thankful for that, and we'll be through eternity. Amen. We all will be, right? All right, I want you to take your Bibles this morning, please. Let's look in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And we'll read just a few verses here as you finish up the book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul has, been talking to this church that has, they're like me and you. They got problems. They got some issues going on over at the church of Corinth. And, for a lot of their issues, it's self-inflicted, like a lot of ours are. I mean, sometimes we try to blame the devil, but you know what? Go look in the mirror, because a lot of times we're the problem. We've caused the problem. We've dug the ditches and got us in a hole and, went our own ways and thought that we had a, as I said earlier, a better idea than God does. So anyway, Paul is giving this church some instruction, some help, and talked to them about a lot of things. And then he comes down to some final words for them. And look with me in verse number 10, if you will. And Paul writes this. He said, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not to come at all at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning and for this time of fellowship and worship. And I pray now you just add your blessings to everything that is said here today, that we may honor you and that we may encourage others and that you may save the lost, that you may speak to the hearts of those that need you. And Lord, that we may just worship and give you praise and honor and glory for everything that you do. We pray now that you'd just give us direction, give us wisdom. Thank you again for all of those that are here today. May they open their ears and open their hearts to hear from God. And again, we'll just thank you for all that's accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about being a victorious dad. About being a victorious dad. When you begin to look at this thought that Paul gives this church. Now, as I said, they've already got some problems. We know all about those problems that they have. With their problems, they've got pride, and they've got arrogance, and they've got kind of a bossy and a me-first attitude. They've got all of that going on. And as I said many times, you and I, if we're not careful, we can be there also, right? We can be there. But they have that kind of attitude, and they had people there that thought they were better than others and put some in a lower position and some in a higher position and, all of that kind of thing. I mean, that's what they did. And to me, that almost sounds like a typical church nowadays. Amen, right there. But listen, Paul begins to talk to them as he closes. And as he comes to a close here, I want you to notice what he's saying to them in those first few verses that we read. He is saying this to them. He says, "Now look, if Timothy comes, here's how I want you to treat him." Now, apparently, Timothy was on his way there, okay? Timothy had been with Paul, and Paul is saying, I'm in a place where God's doing some great stuff. He's over at Ephesus, and he said, I plan on staying here. God's opened the door for us, and we're really having meeting, and people are being saved, the church being established. Things are happening. So, I'm gonna stay here, and Timothy's been with me, and I'm telling him he needs to come over there to you guys. But when he gets there, I want y'all to treat him a certain way. Don't make him have a fearful attitude. Treat him in the right way. You know why Paul could say that? Because Paul knew them. And they'd been hateful. They'd been discourteous. They had been uppity even toward the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, now when Timothy comes, don't y'all treat him like that. He's just a young preacher. Treat him the way that he ought to be treated. And then he says, as a matter of fact, Apollos is here with me, and I desired that he would come to you. But he said, nope, not going right now. It's not the right time. There's something apparently going on in the life of Apollos that maybe God's using him, God spoke to him, or God's told him and said, look, this is not the will of God right now for your life. So, you know, Paul said, well, I want him to come, but for some reason there's a delay with him. And then again, as I said, here's Paul himself. As he says up in verse number 8 of this same chapter, he said, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Because there's a great work going on. So you know what Paul is saying to him? In essence, you guys don't have the spiritual leadership from me, necessarily right now, from Timothy, or even from Apollos, that I wish that you had. But I do want you to have a victorious life in Christ. I want you to have that victory that can only come through Christ. You know, and nothing wrong. Man, there's great men of God. We've all known them. We've been around many of them, and we've had them preach here. But you know what it comes down to sometimes? Can I tell you something, fella? Sometimes it's just us. Amen. It's just us. And we've got to do some things if we're going to get to that place of victory. So Paul tells him, look, you know, here's what we'd like to happen, but that ain't coming. He said, Apollos is not going, he's going to come when he's got a convenient time. But look what he says in verse number 13. It almost looks like it's a separate thing, but he says, watch ye. He says, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. In other words, he's saying, the Calvary ain't coming right now. Ain't nobody there but y'all. But I want y'all to grow up and be men. Amen. And I'm telling you today, fellas, that's my word to all of us. Let's grow up and act like a man. I'm telling you. Do you realize that's not so popular in this world that you and I live in today? I send out a text message a lot of times on Sunday morning to several different preachers, and one of them is an evangelist that was off from here, and I, you know, just encouraging him to preach and told him, he told me what he's going to preach on, I told him what I was going to preach on, and he sent me back a message and said, hey, we got some folks that need to hear that today. He said, I have never seen the lack of effeminate men as I see sitting in the breakfast room of this hotel where I am today. Isn't that sad? I mean, isn't that a shame? And I'm not saying all of us has got to be bulked up and chiseled and have a fine looking body like mine, but I'm just telling you, you know, we do need to stand up and be men. Somebody say amen to that right there. Well, quit laughing. But anyway, hey, we need some guys that'll stand up and be men. You can stand up and be a man if you're 20. You can stand up and be a man if you're 50. You can stand up and be a man if you're 80. Just stand up and be a man. That's what our world needs today. I know the emphasis in this world today is away from manliness and away from testosterone and away from those kind of things. But I'm telling you, we need some men to stand up and act like a man today. Amen. I want you to notice what Paul says to these guys. He says some things to them. And he says four things. If you'll notice that, and I'm sure you have. He said, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. There's four things that he says there that he is implicating to those men. We're not there with you, but some of you guys need to stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a man. So as he begins to deal with those, let's look at him, if you would, this morning. And really, those are words that are military terms. All four of these things blended together. They're really military terms. First of all, he says, as a sentinel, men, be on guard. He says, as a soldier, you need to maintain your position. He says, like a man that you should be, he said, you should manifest some courage. And then last of all, he says, more than anything, as men, we must be strong. We must be strong. And I'm telling you, that's indicated throughout the scriptures. If you'll look at it and look at some of the folks that are men of God, the men that are placed throughout your Bible, thank God, hey, I'm glad for some men that stood up to be men. Amen? So I want you to notice the things that Paul says this morning, and let's just look at them and talk about them. First of all, Paul says this. He says, watch ye. And I believe what Paul is saying is this, men need to be on guard. Men need to be on guard. Can I tell you, fellas, God's called you to be on guard at your house. God's called you to be on guard at your church. God's called you to be on guard even in your community and in your country. God's called men to be on guard. We're to have that desire and that drive down on the inside of us that we want to be on guard. Why is it, preacher? Why do we have to be on guard? Well, first of all, I want to tell you, because of the adversary that we face. There is an adversary. You know what Peter says over in his right? He says for us to be on our guard. He said because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you, the devil's still real today, y'all. He's still out here looking around, and he's going to tear down anybody, any family, any group that he can get into and mess up. You say, oh, preacher, I'm saved. The devil can't get me. He may not be able to get your soul, but friend, can I tell you, he'll try to get in your family and tear it up. He'll try to come through to get your kids or your wife or, ladies, your husband. He'll try to come in some way. And you know what God's called us? Be on guard. Watch out, because that devil's still slipping around. Amen? You've got an adversary. Your adversary, the devil. Amen? I'm just telling you, throughout the scriptures, we note that that's all he does. What did Jesus say about it? Jesus said, the only thing he's come to do is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil does. He's a liar and the father of lies. He is the accuser of the brethren. And again, he is our adversary. Fellas, watch out. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is not something to be just kind of poo-pooed and go on your way and whatever. No, sir, you need to be on guard. You've got children. You've got grandchildren. You've got maybe nieces and nephews and other folks that you love, right? And you want to be on guard for them because there is an adversary. Not only is there an adversary, I want you to know, man, there is something here that tells us that there is an action that is taking place. I mean, I want you to notice he says, watch. Watch. You're to watch. What am I to watch for? You're to watch inside and outside both. Can I tell you, sometimes we think, well, you know, the worry's out here. It's not always there. Sometimes it's on the inside too. Or the Bible talks about over in the book of Jude how that there's been some wicked folks that have crept in unawares. Sometimes they get on the inside and they try to do stuff. Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to alarm anybody. There's nothing here today. But in time past, there have been people that walked in this church that they had to be rung up on the register somewhere to be a sex offender. They've been in the very midst of your church. You know what? You just watch out for your kids. Now, as I say, I'm not saying there's anybody here today, but I'm saying in time past, we've known it. And we've had people come up and said, hey, I want you to know this because, you know, thus and thus situation in this person's life. And you know what? You watch them. Amen? You watch them. Hey, I'm telling you, you got to be on guard at every point because you and I don't know who's what trying to get into the situation of the church and into your family and into your children. You better be on guard. Amen. You guys, hey, we need to wake up. We need to be awoken. We need to watch. I mean, we need to do it without the greatest army in the world. Hey, it can be defeated if somebody on the inside slips in and tries to demolish it from the inside. It can happen. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, You need to have your eyes open, fellas. You need to be, first of all, be on guard. But second of all, Paul talks about not just be, he says, watch ye. He's telling them, look, we're not there right now. If I was there, I'd be watching out for the wolves. I'd be watching out for the wicked. I'd be out watching out for those that may drift in. I'd be watching. You guys need to watch. But then second of all, he says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. In other words, what he's saying there is, I want you to grab onto some ground and don't give up any. I mean, buddy, you know what you need to do? Get your feet planted in firmly and make a stand for the faith. Why is that? Well, first of all, I want you to realize the foundation of your faith. Can I tell you that, again, we talk about the adversary. He's trying to destroy the foundation of our faith. But I'm here to tell you, there's only one foundation that's been given. Paul said there's no other foundation given other than that I gave to you. He said, I'm telling you, this thing is founded upon the solid rock of Christ Jesus as our solid foundation. It's the only foundation we got. Ain't got nothing else. Don't have a carnival. Don't have a light show. I don't have a fog machine. Thank God I got Jesus. I got the faith that he established. I got the word that it's the blood that still cleanses from sin. I got an old Bible that says that Jesus is real. Heaven is sweet. Hell is hot. And you need to get saved. Amen. That's what I got. That's the foundation that we're founded on. Oh, listen, we have something under us. We need something. David talked about in the 40th Psalm. He said, I was in a horrible pit. He said, but the Lord heard my cry. And he said, he reached down and he picked me up out of the miry clay and he put me on a solid rock. You need the solid rock today as your foundation. Well, preacher, I'm going to go with this bunch over here because it's pretty and it's lightweight and I don't have to be real dedicated. Yeah, that's what folks want, don't they? But I'm telling you, you need to get on the rock solid foundation. And Paul says here, stand. And he says not just to stand, but stand fast in the faith. You need to be sure you got a foundation. You need to be, you need to stand with faith. And faithfulness. You need to be counted faithful. You know what God's going to do one of these days? How God grades, if you will. God grades on our faithfulness. It says that when God talked to Abraham and all the things that happened in Abraham's life, it said, and God counted him faithful. That God regarded the person and the things of Abraham because of his faith. And Paul writes on in the New Testament and said, Abraham, who is the father of our faith. Amen? I'm telling you today, hey, it doesn't matter. Oh, preacher, I got a lot of money in the bank. Don't matter. Oh, I know a lot of folks. I'm influential. I'm big shot in the world. You can be every bit of that. And it doesn't impress God one little bit. Amen. He don't care about who you know. He doesn't care about how much you got. He doesn't care about all of your toys and stuff. Hey, God is grading on faithfulness. You remember what Jesus said? He said, one of these days when you walk into heaven, God's going to look at you and he'll say, well done, my good and what? Faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm just telling you, that's what God's looking for out of folks. We've got some of the most faithless generation that I've ever seen. They just, well, you know, we can take it or leave it, come and go. And maybe, if so, well, we don't care. You need to get faithful to God. And Paul says here, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast on a good foundation. Stand fast with faith and faithfulness. And then he says to stand fast and stand firmly. Don't let anything blow you away. I mean, get dug in, man. Get dug in. You remember we've talked about this in time past. We talked about when Paul describes the armor over in Ephesians chapter number 6. Talks about being clothed with the whole armor of God and all those things. He talks about putting on being shod, having on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And on those shoes, a Roman soldier, he's describing a Roman soldier and the way he's outfitted. On those shoes, there were some little nubby spike-like things that were on. You know what that's for? That's when that Roman soldier was in a battle. He could dig his feet in and wasn't nobody moving him out of the way. I'm telling you today, in our faith, you and I need to get dug into this stuff of God. Dig in firmly, dig in fast, dig in solidly, and stand. Paul said, and having done all, just stand. You can't do nothing else, you can stand. Amen. Oh, listen, when I think about that, we hadn't covered this yet in our Wednesday night stuff, but one of David's mighty men was Shammah. He had to go fight against the Philistines. And you know where he took his stand? In the middle of a pea patch. The Bible said there was some ground there where the children of Israel grew some lentils. And all that is, that's beans. Amen. Somebody say amen for beans. Amen. I like them, don't y'all? Ain't nothing better than a pot of pinto. Come on, some of y'all shake your head, quit laughing. Y'all in here with me. Give me a slice or two of onion, and I'm okay, and some cornbread. Hey, we'll take care of it. Amen. But I'm telling you, hey, that was their pea patch. And old Shammah down there, and he said, I don't care how many of you devils are coming. This is our pea patch. Everybody else run. Everybody else fled. He stood his ground in the pea patch, and he fought against the Philistine, and he won a great battle that day. He was determined. He dug in fast. He dug in secure. And, buddy, he was firm in his conviction that the fight needed to go on. I'm telling you, fellas, we need to get firm in our conviction. The fight needs to go on today. You need to, man, this thing ain't, we're not playing. Can I tell you, for sure, the devil's not playing. All you got to do is turn your TV on. The devil ain't playing. Amen? I mean, that stuff going on over in the Middle East, you ain't seen in a long time. And some of you probably never saw such things as going on over there. Can I tell you? The devil's making some moves. The devil's making some noise. The devil's making himself, and he's trying to put himself forward, and he does it through some of the nations and the leaders and the elite of this world. But thank God, I'm glad there's still a God in heaven. Amen. He can stand for those that are his. And I'm just telling you, sometimes God calls us to make a stand. I mean, you just got to make your mind up. That's what you're going to do. I mentioned here on Wednesday night, or maybe it was last Sunday night, about the battle. If you remember when David was fighting against Goliath, that when he got there, his dad told him, you know, take some cheese and milk and all this stuff to the camp of the army and see how they fared. See how things were going at the battle. David went up there. Everybody standing around. Everybody just standing there. And David said, how's things going? Boy, well, everything's okay. It's fine. And his brothers, what are you doing here? Amen. Any of y'all got big brothers? They'll do it. What are you doing here? You're a punk. Get out of here. Well, that's the way it goes, right? And he's walking around, and all of a sudden Goliath comes out. Makes his threatening, disparaging, despicable remarks toward God's people and the armies and some of the soldiers and all. He says, send me a man down here. David's looking around like, somebody going? You see him? See how big he is? He's been doing this a while. Look at that spear. Look at that armament. Look at all that he's got. And David looked at his brother and said, is there not a cause? What are y'all here for? Y'all come to play tiddlywinks and dance, or y'all going to go fight this dude? Amen? And again, his biggest brother said, you just go back home. Get out of here. He said, I'm going to go fight him. None of y'all will. I will. And he went to Saul, and he said, here I am. I'm ready. I'll go fight that dude. He said, he may be big, bad, ugly, and everything else, but I'm going to fight him. And Saul tried to put his armor on him. David said, I can't work with this. He said, let me go with what I know. And you know the story, how David went down, he kills Goliath. And you know what? And then after David kills Goliath, the rest of the army comes in and they chase the Philistines and all that. But they were scared. If you go on over toward the end of David's life, you'll see that David had some men that you couldn't scare. He had trained them in the right ways to get the fear out of their lives. Somebody said, well, preacher, what's courage? How do you get courage? Well, somebody said courage is fear that said its prayers. Amen? I'm just telling you, I'm saying it won't be ever a time that you don't get afraid, but there's enough of God on the inside of you that you prayed and asked Him to give you help. You can be like David when he faced Goliath that day and said, the God of heaven is going to help me fight you. Amen? And that's what you need today, Dad. You need that today so that you can stand and you can stand firmly. All right, David says, or Paul says, look, you got to watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Look at the third thing that he says. Quit ye like men. Quit ye. What does that mean? Does that mean to quit? No. It means simply stand up and be a man. Be a guidepost for other men. Isn't it great to look at somebody that models manhood? And I'll just tell you this. When you look at this word where Paul says to quit ye like men, that word men in there is the Greek word andrizo. Okay? You say, big deal. What does that mean? Well, we get one of our English words derived from that, which is androgen. You know what androgen is? Androgen is a male hormone. And estrogen is a female hormone. That's what makes us different, guys and gals, are those two little things right there. And we could get into the chemistry of it. We're not going to do that. But we used to have a teacher. One of them is methylated. It's got a methyl group on it. And the other one doesn't. And one of our biochemistry teachers used to say, if it wasn't for methyl, we'd all be ethyl. Amen? I mean, hey. I'm just, there's a difference. Can y'all believe? I'm standing up and telling you in 2025, there is a difference in a man and a woman. Amen. Amen? And if you ain't got enough bat sense to figure that out, go out and get you a litter of puppies or kitty cats and look at them. And I believe if you look in the right part, you can tell a boy puppy from a girl puppy. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Works the same thing, men, women too, right? I'm just telling you. Hey, and look, Paul says, stand up and be a man. Be a guidepost for other men. Be a guidepost in your place, in your family, in your community, in your world. Stand up, fellas, and be counted as men. Amen. You ought to be a man. How do we quit? Well, or behave or act or show ourselves to be a man. First of all, you better have Christ Jesus in your life. There's some things that better be there. And first of all, you need Christ in your life. A lot of folks say, oh, preacher, Jesus was a milk toast. Oh, no, he wasn't. I beg your pardon. He was much a man. He might have been gentle, and he might have been kind, and he might have been gracious, and he might have been, and he was all of those things. But when it came time, he went in there and said, hey, you bunch of vipers and demons, started flipping over tables and said, you made the house of God a den of thieves, and I'm here to straighten that out. Amen. Amen. Jesus carried his cross to his death, even with the blood flowing and the life falling out of him and all of the things that they had done to him. He still was a man that bowed down before his heavenly Father and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. I'm telling you, all the way through the agony and the pain and everything that he went through and endured on the cross, Jesus was much a man. He wasn't no sissy. He wasn't no weakling. He wasn't no, as people say, oh, well, he was meek. Meek doesn't mean or imply a lack of strength. It implies a way of controlling that where it's just not out there all the time. Amen? But when it came time for it, Jesus had the manliness and the courage and the braveness and boldness that he needed to show that manhood. And that's what we need today. You don't have to be a bully. You don't have to be a tyrant. You don't have to be a smart aleck. You can be a man. You can be a man. Amen? And I'm just telling you, that's what the Lord is saying. It takes Christ first and foremost. But let me tell you, it takes some courage. It takes some courage to be a man. I mean, be a man. Stand up and have some courage. Fight for your family. Tell them, you know, I've seen some of these things. I guess some of you guys have seen them too. You know, there's a little thing that says, here's some rules for dating my daughter. You ever seen some of those? One guy, you know, they posted those things, and it said, I have a gun, and I know how to use it. Amen? You touch her, I touch you. You make her cry, I make you cry. Amen? Now, I know that's probably a little bit on the silly side, but I'm just telling you, sometimes you got to stand up for your kids. You don't want nobody hurting your kids. You don't want nobody bullying, meaning them, being demeaning and all of those things to your kids, do you? Amen. Why? Those are mine. And I'm defending them. But I want to tell you, more than that, all of this other junk that comes in. You know, we talk about over in Psalm 1 where David writes and said, blessed is the man, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he comes down, that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. The scorner will tell your kids, ah, you don't need to go to church. Yeah, there ain't nothing to that. Well, that's just for old weak-minded and silly and old people and somebody's about to go to heaven and all that kind of stuff. They'll just tell you that. I'm telling you, it takes a man that has some courage to be a real follower of Christ. And I'm telling you, men, get some courage. If you doubt that, go back to chapter number 1 in the book of Joshua. When Moses has died, Joshua is about to lead the people of Israel. And as he's getting ready to go, God begins to talk to him. And do you know what he tells him? 3 times, be strong and of a good courage. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. Your courage, sir, can come through knowing that Christ Jesus is there with you. So you need Christ, you need courage, and you need some confidence. You need some confidence. Hey, you need to have some confidence in the things that you believe and in what you know to be true. Our world has fallen apart today, and I think a lot of it is the lack of confidence. We got men that don't know that they're men or women, and some of them think they're kitty cats and puppy dogs and fish and everything else. I mean, isn't that amazing? I watch these little videos and reels, probably like a lot of you, and I see people interview, and there's people, and I'm like, you've lost your mind. You have absolutely lost your mind. Oh, my. Hey, I'm telling you, you and I need to have some confidence. Can I tell you, I'm confident that Jesus still saves. Amen. I'm confident that it's still the blood that cleanses men from their sin. I'm confident that there is a heaven and there is a hell. I'm confident that this book is the Word of God. Amen. And it is the truth that all the world knows. I've got my confidence in some things. I'm not putting my confidence in men. And I'll tell you something, I don't care. You may be a Donald Trump or a Joe Biden fan or a Obama or whoever you got. I'm just telling you, you better not put your confidence in. You better put your confidence in the Lord. Amen. Because those dudes will let you down. Any one of them will let you down. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So you need some confidence. I mean, pray and be a stronger man. All right? And last thing that he said is that we should have all of this. Watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men. And the last thing he says is be strong. And what I want to say about that, fellas, have some guts. Now, I know that ain't the right word necessarily, but it rhymed with all my other G's, so that's what I thought out there. But have some guts, amen? I mean, I'm just telling you, fellas, have some guts today. Spiritually, you ought to have some spiritual guts, some spiritual fortitude, if you will. Man. How do we do that? Well, first of all, you ought to be dependable. God ought to be able to depend on you. Your family ought to be able to depend on you. Your church ought to be able to depend on you. Amen? The people in your life, at your work, and in your community, wherever you are, they ought to be able to depend on you. You need to be spiritually dependable. What if somebody comes and says, I need to be saved. I need to know. You know what, Moses? Or let me call the preacher and see what he... You ought to be dependable enough that you can help somebody when they get in that time of need. You ought to be dependable when somebody said, you know, I need for you to help me, you know, get a tree out of the yard or help me work on this situation or do that or some good spiritual advice, whatever it is. You ought to be dependable. You ought to be dependable for those kind of things. Be strong. Second of all, you need to be disciplined. You need to be disciplined. Now, you know why a lot of us look like this? We need some discipline. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, y'all know. Me and little Debbie's got a thing. I'll be honest with you. Little Debbie ain't at the house, is she? Not at all. But buddy, there's some other good stuff there. Let me just tell you. Amen. But I'm just telling you, hey, you need to have some discipline. And spiritually more than anything. You need to be disciplined. You need to read your Bible. You need to be disciplined to pray. You need to be disciplined when you use your eyes and the things you see and the places you go and the things that you say. All of that needs to be under some spiritual discipline. You need to be dependable. You need to be disciplined. And you need to understand that you have a spiritual duty. You got a spiritual duty to this world. Because it's like this, as one old preacher said, if it's not you, then who? If it's not you, then who? I read a story about some fellas that had been in a different city and they'd been working and, you know, they were tired. They'd been there all week and they were staying in a hotel and they got in the elevator, you know, and one of them pushed a button and getting ready to go up the elevator and went up one floor and they were just kind of, you know, just all about out of it. And the door opened. And they said, here's this old guy that looks like he's about 80 years old. He's weathered. He's an old cowboy. Got on an old straw hat and some rough-looking boots and blue jeans that's all dirtied and, you know, kind of not the cleanest thing in the world. Got on his little western shirt with the little pearly buttons on. He gets in there, and they said, you could tell by looking at him, well-weathered and well-worn. And he walks in just all kind of bow-legged. He gets in there with those fellas and he looks at them and he says, good evening, gentlemen. And they said, you know what we did? We all straightened up at attention. Because if he was going to name us as gentlemen, we wanted to act the part. Can I tell you today, folks are looking to you, men. They're looking to you to be the man that God's called you to be. Amen. I've told y'all, I've been in a lot of places and hospitals, particularly going to hospital, and there's people there, and you know, there's all kinds of folks that have all kinds of problems. And get around, sometimes you start talking to folks, and I've talked to folks, and man, they start throwing out some of them little choice words, cussing, whatever. And then all of a sudden, somebody say, now what do you do for a living? I say, I'm a preacher. Boy, you see them straighten up in a hurry. Oh, well, I go to such and such a church, and I've been a member there, and I'm a blah, blah, blah. You know, they begin to get real good then. Well, let me tell you something. God's watching you every day. And you need to understand it's your spiritual duty to be that Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're standing here before a dead and dying world. And Paul says, I want you fellas. Don't wait till I get there. Don't wait till Timothy gets there. Don't wait till Apollos gets there. I want y'all to stand up and be men right now. Fellas, I know the other day Brother Larry was talking about it. He said, you know, we're kind of fading off the scene here. I mean, hey, guess what? We are. But I want God to bring up a generation behind us. And I want some men in it, some God-fearing, some Bible-knowing, some Spirit-directed men. Will you be one of them? You know, the Marines say the few, the proud, the chosen, and the few. And then they say the Marines need a few good men. I'm telling you, God needs some good men in His service and in His work today. Some of us may not be there always, But I'm telling you, I want to see somebody come along behind us, stand up, and be a man. What about you this morning, fellas? And maybe even not just necessarily you fellas. Maybe there might be some of you ladies. And you need to do your part and be the mom, the woman, the wife, whatever it is. Kids, do your part. Be the kid. Be the child and the follower that you ought to be of your dad and your family. Maybe you need to come pray. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost and you need Jesus to save you. That's the best path you can get on to understand your spiritual duty and find your spiritual discipline, is to come and find Christ this morning. Brother Ronnie, while we get ready with a song, if you would, today.